Well, happy Easter, everybody. Isn't this an awesome day, Easter, and this celebration of renewal and rebirth and newness of life and spring and all that it includes? And as Ray mentioned earlier, for Christians today, people of the Christian religion, this commemorates the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, his rising out of a tomb of death and into eternal life, rising out of a realm of human struggle and limitation and into a heavenly realm, into an eternal realm of freedom and of liberation and of boundlessness. And for those of us who are not Christian, it's still a holiday and a celebration of spring and of renewal and newness of life as we see all the plants budding out and the trees leafing out and all the new flowers, and we see animals and birds building nests and having babies and getting ready to have babies. In fact, yesterday I went to the park and was laying on a blanket under the tree and relaxing, and it got really hot in the sun, so we had to move, and there was a dead tree right there, and I thought, I don't really want to lay next to a dead tree, but that's okay, and just scoot it over. Well, guess what? In the top of that tree was a woodpecker carving out a hole for a nest. For like an hour, we watched this red-headed woodpecker creating this nest in this dead tree. It was awesome. And so you may already know, or maybe you don't, that the word Easter actually comes from the word Ostre, which was a pagan goddess of spring. She was a goddess of new beginnings and of renewal and new birth. She represents the sunrise and the new dawn. And throughout history, she has been celebrated at the spring equinox and especially during the month of April. And even for those who are simply celebrating Easter in a very secular way, we still have the Easter bunny and Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies, all that represent new life. That egg represents new birth, and bunnies represent fertility and new life, both of those representing new beginnings. And so today we are going to be looking at that symbolism of spring and of Easter and of resurrection and of new life, of ascension and of Ostre, and how that pertains to us today, how that applies to our lives today. And so the title of my talk is Rolling Away the Stone. And I am particularly talking about rolling away the stone that keeps us from experiencing freedom. Rolling away the stone that keeps us from experiencing liberation and our own innate boundless nature. Rolling away the stone that keeps us from being born again and experiencing that boundlessness of life, the very life that we are living. That thing that keeps us from participating in our own resurrection and our own ascension. And so I read a story about rolling away the stone this week that I'd like to share with you. It says, it is told that there was a king in ancient times who instructed his servants to place a boulder, a very large boulder, right in the middle of the roadway. Then he hid and watched to see if anyone would remove the huge rock. Some of the town's wealthiest merchants and members of the elite class came by and simply walked around it. Many loudly complained and blamed the king for not keeping the roads clear, but none did anything about getting the big stone out of the way. Others came along who made feeble attempts to move it, but it proved to be too difficult, so they just gave up. Then a peasant came along, carrying a load of vegetables. On approaching the boulder, the peasant laid down his heavy load and tried to move the stone to the side of the road. It was very hard and wouldn't budge. But after much pushing and straining, he finally succeeded. He rolled the stone away. As he was about to pick up his load of vegetables and continue on his way, he noticed a purse lying in the road where the boulder had been. He picked it up, opened it, and discovered that it contained many gold coins and a note from the king saying that the gold belonged to whoever removed the boulder from the roadway. Rolling away the stone may not be the easiest thing we have ever done, but the rewards are tremendous. because rolling that stone away allows us to experience our true selves. Rolling the stone away allows us to experience our own innate nature and to step into the light, like Roz just sang about. It allows us to step into the light of our own being and the light of life. And so Ernest Holmes says, the resurrection is the death of the belief that we are separate from God. The resurrection is the death to that belief that there is something other than this one and that we are other than that one. Because in truth, everything is a part of that and we are all expressions of that one. And so every single one of us, I know we want to experience that sense of freedom. Free to be who we are in the world and to do what we want to do. Whether that looks like being an artist or a dancer or a computer program. Free to do what we want to do, whether that looks like traveling or going back to school or designing the next house that you want to live in. We want to be free to follow those heart longings and to live out those dreams. We want to experience our own sense of boundlessness. We want to experience that boundlessness of ourselves and of life itself. We want to experience the truth of our own wholeness, of our own enoughness, of our own creativity, and our own power and our ability to express in the world. We want to experience our magnificence, our beauty, our power, and our divinity. And so the problem is, the stone that needs to be rolled away is identifying with our stories. You know those stories we tell ourselves all the time? You know that story about how you were never picked for the team when you were growing up? The last one always chosen? Or that story that you tell yourself about how your parents really liked your sibling better than they liked you? Or that they just never really approved of you and gave you their approval or believed in you? Or that story about how that person abused you while you were growing up? Or that story about how you weren't chosen for the choir, therefore you don't sing today. Or even those stories that we tell ourselves today about, relationships just never work out for me. Or I always choose the wrong kind of person to be in relationship with. Or I'm just not smart enough. Or if only I were thinner or younger or taller or shorter or whatever the story is that you tell yourself and that you make up that keeps you stuck. And so I have a really good friend, this man in my life that I just adore. And recently we were talking and he said something to me about the fact that he's a quitter. This person is not a quitter from the way that I see things. And he says, you know what? That story came from a long time ago. It came from when I was a boy and I was in the Boy Scouts and we went hiking one day on the fire trails. And it was really hot. And we'd been hiking for a really long time. And he fainted. He passed out. And when he came to, the camp directors decided that they should send him back down the mountain. And just at that time, a ranger happened to drive by in a truck who was emptying all the trash cans and throwing the trash in the back of the truck. So they took him and threw him in the back of the truck to take him down. And he made up this story and internalized that he was a quitter because he didn't finish that hike and either belonged in the trash or was like the trash, or worthy of that, and that's who he was. I know this man is not a quitter, and I think you do too. His name is Ray Bunch. He's been married for 55 years. He worked as a service manager for the same organization for how many years? 40? 20 years. He has shown up here every single Sunday, I think, except three in 5 years, and sets this place up and breaks it down and volunteers his service and does website stuff and sends the blurb out every single week and is on the vision team. Is that a quitter? But that's what we do. We take some obscure story of something that happened to us and we internalize it to tell us who we are. But it's not who we are. It's an experience that happened to us. It's a story. It's a thing. It's not who we are. And so then, That stone that has to be rolled away in order to experience our freedom, in order to experience our magnificence, in order to experience our self, self with a capital S, who we really are, is the conclusion that we've drawn from those experiences that we've had, the conclusions that we've drawn about who we are because of them. Specifically, that one that I think every single one of us has made up at some point, that we are not enough because of this thing that happened. And so then we participate in our own resurrection, in our own ascension, in our own transformation, when we cease identifying with the stories, when we cease identifying with our woundedness, when we cease identifying with the experiences of our lives, and instead we identify with our spirit. We identify with that source of life that's inside of us. When we identify with our soul, that pure essence of being that lives within us, the light that lives within us, that pure light and energy of wholeness, because that is who you are. That is what you're made of. That is how you came onto this planet, as that light of being. And so you participate in your own resurrection when you realize that the past really doesn't have any power over you. That in reality, it was only an experience. And in reality, you live in that infinite potential as that infinite potential. And that it, that potential of the universe, expresses by means of us. And that means then the more that we step into the light, the more that we reveal to the world the truth of who we are, our boundless nature and our power and our beauty and our magnificence, the more that the divine is being expressed in the world then. The more that we embody and give way to it, the more completely it is expressed. And so Joel Goldsmith, in his book, The Art of Spiritual Healing, says this: "There is only one God, and the I am in the midst of me is that God, infinite, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, the only power. There is no power besides the I that I am. That I that I am is immortal and eternal. Because of my oneness with the Father, my oneness with the I that I am, all the intelligence, all the wisdom, all the life, all the spirituality, all the power, all the good, and all the grace of God are embodied within me. The I that I am is that presence. That is who you are. That is what you are." And so it takes us recognizing that infinite presence at the very center of our being, and identifying with that. Because when we do that, we step out of limiting experiences, because that no longer identifies us. That is the thing that enables us to step into courage and to step into confidence and to live that life of our dreams, to do the things that we long to do and to be the things that we long to be. That allows us to step into the new moment and the next new moment and the next new moment, fresh and available to express ourselves. That allows us to live our dreams, those dreams that we're longing to. And so in The Foundations of Mysticism by Joel Goldsmith also, which is one of the books we're reading for class, he says, "There is no place where I can be that God is not present where I am, as long as I am where God is. As long as I abide in him and he abides in me consciously, how can I step outside of grace?" And he goes on to say, "The reason for the discords of the world is that God is only present where God is realized. Where God is realized, the grace of God is in expression. God is only real where we realize it." where we recognize it. And when we recognize it and realize it's at the center of our being, we activate that in our lives. And it's kind of like electricity. You know, electricity has always been present. It is everywhere present, but you have to tap into it in order to use it. I saw a video on YouTube this couple weeks ago about this 12-year-old boy who is a scientist and a discoverer. And he says he's known since he can remember that he is here to make a difference in this world and to make life better. And for $14, he created a machine out of a coffee can and a spoon and some wires that actually takes the static electricity and the radio waves out of the air, AC, and converts it to DC and turns it into electricity. He wound his brother up in LED lights and lit up the LED lights with this thing that takes the electricity out of the air. That's what we have to do with the divine. We tap into the wholeness and the power and the love and the enoughness, and that as the identity of who we really are, the core of our being. So it's when we forget. It's when we forget that we live in that presence, in that love intelligence, in that creativity, in that boundlessness, that we end up thinking that we are limited. That we end up thinking that the past is going to be expressed in the present and in the future because it happened in the past. There, we think that history repeats itself. We forget that we are an avenue for spirit to express, that we are filled with that presence, that we are incarnations of that infinite one. And when we forget, then we're destined to live the life that we've always lived. But you know what? That's a lie. It's not the truth. You are free now. Not tomorrow, not some other time. You're free now because you live in that infinite presence and because it lives in you. And so Ernest Holmes says, the divine plan is one of freedom. Bondage is not God ordained. Bondage exists only in the human mind. We can be free as soon as we recognize that there is no power to bind us except ourselves. It's only a thought. It's only a belief. And we don't have to hold on to that belief. Instead, we can step into the light. So my invitation to you then is to realize that you are not your experiences. You are not your past. You are not the conclusion that you drew because of those traumatic experiences. Instead, I invite you to participate in this Easter day today and in your own resurrection by remembering and by rolling away that stone. When that thought comes up, oh, I'm a quitter, or whatever the story is that comes up in your mind, roll the stone away. See it in your mind. Oh, yeah, this is just a stone from my past. It's dead. It's been dead for a long time. And see yourself rolling that stone out of your pathway and it tumbling down the hill, down into that vast nothingness, because there's nothing to support it except you're entertaining it. So roll that stone away, down that hill into that nothingness, and then step into the light. Step into the light of the divine that is right where you are, calling your name, calling you to be it and to live in it and to give way to it as your very beingness. That is your resurrection. That is your ascension. Step into your divine nature, into your power, into your beauty, into your magnificence, and into the good that you truly are. And as a result, you will be experiencing freedom and living the life that your heart has longed to live and been calling you to live. And so happy Easter to each of you. Happy resurrection and renewal and rebirth and change to each one of you as you walk this path here in the season of spring. Blessings to you. Hey, Roz, how would you like to come up and team tag prayer with me?
Oh, sure. Wow.
And so I begin with just recognizing that infinite one that is right here where we stand. That presence that embodies us and encircles us, that one whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. That we are living our lives in this presence and that it permeates everything in our lives. It permeates every situation and every circumstance. It permeates our homes and our relationships and our places of work and our hearts and our words. And so today I recognize that we walk in this light. That light goes before us and opens the way and makes it plain and smooth. And that light pours itself out as a blessing that fills our life. Mm. That fills our lives with infinite potentiality. That fills our lives with boundless good. Mm-hmm. That fills our lives with love and with wholeness and with power and with grace. And so I know that this is the truth about us, and this is also the truth about every single person in this world, that we are each incarnations of that one, living the life of the divine, and that it is pouring itself out in the life of every single person today at this moment, and that we are all receiving this grace and this good like never before. I know that that one is also expressing itself in every single religious leader, every single politician, every single policymaker right now, unfolding itself as good and greater good and wholeness and beauty and truth and light and transformation is happening now. And so with a grateful heart, I pass this prayer.
And so how wonderful it is to recognize that anything we saw that was other than this is just an illusion, and we allow it to just slide off our shoulders just like a piece of silk, just falling onto the floor, that we are so uplifted right now. We are so clearly seeing the truth that light is all there is, and that we are that, that I am that, that each one here is that. I am that I am. We are that I am presence right now. So there can be nothing else to impede us to step in front of us and look like a stone, because we just see through that. And I am so standing with this magnificent minister here in this light and in knowing for each one here the blessings that have been spoken here. And for each one here, so many blessings, that there is a receptivity going on here, that each heart is opening more than ever before to receive these boundless riches and to receive this light, that there is just light shining from, in, through, and as each one. And I'm so grateful for this, so grateful this time together to come together and to know this truth together. And so I'm grateful, and in gratitude, I simply just let it be, take my hands off it, and trust fully that the universe is manifesting this in such magnificent ways. And so together we say,
and so it is.
So it is.
Awesome. Thank you.